Welcome again to the Warren County Radio Bible School. I hope you're enjoying these lessons from that prophet Isaiah. We're talking about the reign of Christ as it was predicted in the prophecy of Isaiah, of Isaiah chapter 11. In just a moment, we're going to read Isaiah 11, 2 through 5, and then turn once again to Elam's Sunday School notes for notes he made on this passage for the Sunday Schools of December 23rd, 1923. So get your Bible and be prepared to follow along with us as we study in Isaiah chapter 11. And while you're doing so, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read with you Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 through 5. And the Spirit of Jehovah shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Jehovah. And his delight shall be in the fear of Jehovah, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. Here's what we have in Elam's notes. All Christians must cultivate thankfulness and endeavor to offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. People who fear Jehovah respect his word, honor his will, and come into his presence with awe, and are afraid to disobey him, and delight in his service, are the ones that he blesses and saves. There is today a widespread lack of the fear of God, even among those who are his professed children. With the Spirit of Jehovah, delighting in the fear of Jehovah, this one that would come would judge according to the righteousness, equity, and faithfulness of Jehovah. He would not be partial. He would not respect persons. He would not judge right after the sight of his eyes or decide after the hearing of his ears. Righteousness and faithfulness would be his girdle. The loose flowing garments worn made it necessary to wear a girdle in order to bind up these garments about the body and get them out of the way of action. To have the loins girded was to have them ready for action. We read about this being illustrated in that manner several times in the Bible. In Luke chapter 12, 35 and 36, we read, "Let your loins be girded about and your lamps burning, and be ye yourselves like unto men looking for their Lord." Hence the girdle represents activity and strength. Christians, as soldiers, ready for action, are to have their loins girded with truth. Ephesians chapter 6 and 14, "Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth." The loins of their minds are to be girded. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, "Wherefore, girding up the loins of your mind, and to gird themselves with humility." In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, "You gird yourselves with humility to serve one another, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." Girded with righteousness and faithfulness, this judge would be zealous and active and strong in executing justice and doing his work. It is encouraging and rejoicing to know that Jesus and not man judges us. And he judges us not in the prejudice and partiality and presumption and ignorance of men, but in the righteousness, equity, and faithfulness of God. Both the poor and meek, the arrogant and the rich will be judged alike. In this judgment the earth shall be smitten with the rod of the mouth of the judge, and the wicked will be slain with the breath of his lips. The rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips represent his word, which pronounces the judgment and doom on the wicked. And this Messiah would usher in a reign of peace. And in illustrating that and speaking of that in this poetic fashion, we read in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the winged child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Jehovah as the waters come to the sea." The figures of these verses representing effects of the peace all enjoy who come under the reign of Christ are both strong and beautiful. The wolf and the leopard will not destroy the lamb and the kid, but all will dwell together. The young lion and the calf and the fatling will not only dwell together, but a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed together. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall become tame and no longer feed upon other animals, but shall eat straw like an ox. Under the gospel of peace and in the church of Christ, those who were wolves and leopards and bears and lions, praying in selfishness through greed of gain and through fraud and oppression upon the weak and the helpless, they become mild and gentle, kind and tender, just and righteous, merciful and gracious. This is to characterize all who come to Christ, because Christ himself is merciful and gracious, and we are to be like him. Much is said in the New Testament about being at peace, and keeping the peace, and making peace, and pursuing peace, and being ruled by peace. But more, in the kingdom of peace, as one tender and helpless as the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, or as the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den, and shall not be hurt. Those who are asp and adders in the world filled with the poison and death become harmless and helpful in their conversion to Christianity. By Christians, no advantage will be taken of. No harm will be done to, no fraud will be practiced upon the babe and weaklings, the humblest and the poorest of orphans and widows. Jesus, the prophet, says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full with the knowledge of Jehovah as the waters cover the sea." That would be in reference to the gospel being preached into all the world. And his holy mountain represents the dominion of the Lord. Wherever the knowledge of Jehovah is, there is peace among those who will receive it. To know Jehovah is to submit to him. Then it must follow that all who engage in or encourage in wars against one another are those who do not know God. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, let me read to you Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, where the prophet said, "There shall be no gloom to her that was in anguish. In the former times he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time hath he made it glorious by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath this light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased their joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken as in the day of Midian. For all the armor of the armed men of this tumult and the garments rolled in blood shall be for burning, for fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the author of peace. His gospel is the gospel of peace. He enjoins peace and rules in his kingdom of peace. Here we recall the song of the angels on the night of Jesus' birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men in whom he is well pleased. The birth of Jesus rebounds to the glory of God on high and to peace among men on earth. It is predicted that under the reign of Christ, war itself between one another in that mountain will cease. Men will learn it no more against one another in his church. Under the rule of Christ, people cannot learn to war against one another. He doesn't teach that. He teaches us to be gentle with one another, and to uphold and encourage one another, and to live together in peace. We read that he will judge between the nations and decide concerning many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Isaiah 2 and verse 4. And so the way the prophet describes the peace in Isaiah 2 is the cessation of armed conflict. And the way he describes that peace in Isaiah chapter 11 is with these wild and tame animals laying down beside one another with no fear of harm. It is most certain, then, that all who yield to Christ, obey him, cannot learn and practice war against each other anymore. Just as fast as individuals become Christians, they cease to study war and to shed blood and kill their fellow brethren. And just as nations come under the sway of Christ, they will learn and cease to be so unjust toward one another and to set one at war against another. This root of Jesse, Isaiah 11 and verse 10, will be an ensign, our flag, our standard of the people, a flag of peace, and not one of war and bloodshed. When this branch shall come forth, all nations shall seek it. And this is a prophecy of the salvation of the Gentiles. We read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 32 that Jesus would be a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And in Acts chapter 11 and verse 18, then to the Gentiles also hath God granted repentance unto life. And so God said to Jesus of Nazareth in Psalm 2 and verse 8, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. God set him as a king on his holy hill of Zion. And so he said, ask of me of the nations for thine inheritance. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And to him every knee must bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. And this brings that Sunday school lesson for December 23rd to a close. We'll begin a new next lesson next class.